I'll just turn it over to our head appeals officer, Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're here tonight to hear the appeal on the Planning Commission notice on the conditional use permit. The appeal was by Veterans for Peace, and the appealees are the CBJ Planning Commission and Juno Mercantile and Armory. Both parties have briefed. You all have the materials in your packet along with the record from the Planning Commission. Per the agreement and the order, each group has 30 minutes to make their presentation tonight. I would encourage you to ask questions as we go along rather than wait till the end. That way, we'll be sure to get all the arguments out and questions that we may or may not have. The CBJ Planning Commission and Juno Mercantile and Armory representatives have agreed on there. They're going to split their 30 minutes. Dan Bruce is on the phone. And when we get done, I assume then we will adjourn. And then after the assembly meeting, we'll reconvene in executive session to discuss.
How do we keep track of the 30 minutes if we're interrupting with questions?
The clerk was going to keep track of the 30 minutes, hopefully, and I will as well.
Okay. I just want to be sure that we still are even 30 minutes for each side.
Randy?
Thank you, Mr. Jones. If I understand things correctly, even if we ask a question, that counts against their 30 minutes.
It does. But if we have questions, we need to get them out.
Mr. Hartle, that's correct?
Yes, that's correct. That's the way the Supreme Court does it. You have your time.
Just ask short questions.
Okay, if no other questions, and then Veterans for Peace, you're on. Your 30 minutes starts.
Does this work?
It does.
It may be heard. Okay. I want to thank you and members of the assembly for taking extra time to deal with this matter. I know it's not fun, and I know, however, that it is your intent to serve the public, and that is our intent. So I think we can take the time that we have and that you are giving to your deliberations and listening to this and turn it into a positive experience for all. I would also like to thank your staff, Ms. McEwen, Mr. Hartle, and the opposition, if you will, the Planning Commission, and Greg Cheney, and Juno Mercantile and Armory, Dan Miller, and their attorney, Dan Bruce, who is on the phone. So I do all that not just because I'm a nice guy, but because this really has been an enlightening experience, and I am personally very appreciative of the fact that people have treated me and our concerns seriously, and they have as well been very helpful to me, a non-lawyer, in shaping the issues here and addressing the ones that need to be addressed, in our opinion. As you know, well, you do know who the parties are. For the record, I should probably explain that my name is Phil Smith. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, a 30-year Juneau resident, a president of the local chapter of Veterans for Peace, which brought this action, as well as a longtime outdoor user. I was raised in Cordova, did a lot of hunting, still own guns, etc. So just to make sure that there's no questions about this, we are not at all into taking apart the Second Amendment. We don't see this as an issue involving the Second Amendment in any way, unless somebody wants to take issue with this. We view this as a question of whether the city has been well served by the process put in place by the Director of Community Development, or the Planning Development Director, and by the actions of the commission. When you get all through all of the stuff and such that we're trying to boil down here, we see that there are essentially two issues. They include whether the Planning Commission and whether their review of the proposal, that is the proposal to build a 13,000 square foot mercantile building and shooting range out on Crest Street by the airport, whether the commission adequately reviewed and addressed the public health and safety issues related to the proposal. We contend that for whatever reason, maybe they were in a big hurry, but we contend that they didn't. Likewise, the other issue is whether the Planning Commission's review of the proposal did not adequately address the proposal's conformance with the community comprehensive plan. And again, we contend that it didn't. So first of all, we ought to look at what's at stake here. And that what's at stake is a conditional use permit. The conditional use permit is defined on the CBJ's website as a land use permit granted by the Planning Commission that approves the development of a lot and I'm going to emphasize this, places conditions on the development to prevent negative impact on neighbors and the community. The commission has authority to place conditions on such permits. The commission has the authority to put conditions on to address issues if they find that a facility or a use will materially endanger the public health or safety or lack general conformity with the comprehensive plan, a thoroughfare plan, or any other official plans. Commission authority specifically conditions, the commission authority includes that they can add specific conditions. They may alter the director's recommendation. They may impose its own or both. And just in case you need reminding, the only condition recommended by the staff, by the director, was that the four lots upon which this new facility is to be erected be consolidated. Apparently it would make it easier to bill electricity and water and things like that. There were none having to do with public safety or health or the strategic plan. But the commission may put such other conditions as they wish and they find reasonably necessary pursuant to the standards listed in subsection F. This is fun. I learned a lot about how to get through the code, sort of jumping back and forth between F and G and 010.5A and so forth. But they may add other conditions, and you can change their decision, or you can set their decision aside and make them do a do-over, or you can adopt it. But if you do want to change it, I have to convince you that the decision is not supported by substantial evidence in light of the whole record, as supplemented at the hearing, when the whole record includes this evening's argument. And the code also provides that substantial evidence means such evidence, relevant evidence, as a reasonable mind might accept as adequate to support a conclusion. You may also set aside the decision if you find that the decision is not supported by adequate written findings, or the findings fail to inform the appeal agency or the hearing officer of the basis upon which the decision appealed from was made. In other words, there's nothing written in the record that says that this is a reasonable thing, and it supports our argument that substantial evidence supports the Planning Commission's decision, you may set it aside. And then the big one here, I put in extra large letters on the bottom, is that the burden of proof is on me. It's on Veterans for Peace. It's on the appellant. So the whole thing is sort of tilted in a way to make it difficult, to make it easy for the Planning Commission to make a decision and to set the threshold fairly low with respect to what an applicant has to do, and certainly, and contrary, very high with respect to what an appellant needs to do. And that's why I went through all of this, to show you exactly what type of burden I've got here this evening, and you have as you think this thing through. I'm not going to get, you know, yelling or snarling or anything, but we feel that, and once again, the Planning Commission's review of the proposal did not adequately address public health and safety issues. Now, consider some of these facts that are in the record. First of all, the staff included no comments whatsoever from any law enforcement agency when it presented this thing to the commission in its so-called analysis that it prepared in September for the very first Planning Commission meeting at which this was scheduled. There was no indication that they had consulted with law enforcement. There was no indication that they had heard anything from law enforcement, and there was certainly nothing in writing. Apparently, at that time, the staff analysis relied exclusively on the application itself, which said in a cursorily written four-paragraph explanation that the facility would be safe because the guns were going to be discharged in a concrete basement. And it also provided in the application a handmade drawing or a hand-drawn sketch of the basement, with only some lines indicating here's where the shooting is going to take place, here's the stairs going upstairs. There was no architectural detail that in any way provided an uninformed viewer with any certainty that the facility had architectural features to make sure that it's safe. Now, at the hearing that was finally held in December 11th, this was after, by the way, the staff had to go back and figure out and put a burden on you to change the statute to make this thing possible legally. And after they had initially put this whole question on the consent agenda for the commission, thinking that, well, there wouldn't be any controversy about this, we're all going to be letting fire high power weapons of war. I know people don't like that phrase being used, but it's exactly what they are. And instead of being able to pass it on that first Planning Commission meeting on January 25th, when Mr. Miller appropriately recused himself from the proceedings because he's an owner of the applicant facility, they didn't have a quorum. Nobody called in. Nobody said, well, I'd like to participate by phone. And so this thing was actually put off. And then right before it was rescheduled, they discovered, oh my gosh, we can't do this. We need to change the ordinances. So they came to you, the assembly, in November, and you did that. And then in late November, right after Thanksgiving, they noticed the hearing on the 12th of December, and they also published a notice on the 11th of December. And so then they held the hearing. And at that hearing, staff said, well, that they, whoever they was, the staff, somebody on the staff, had contacted the police department and held a conversation, perhaps with a policeman, perhaps with the clerk, perhaps with a dispatcher. I don't know, maybe they called 911. But there was no indication of to whom they spoke. The police said they had no concerns about the facility, or were told the police said that. But there's nothing in the record that has anything in writing from the authority of the Juneau Police Department, which is a fine body, which could actually have contributed to this. There was no indication in the record that they contacted any other law enforcement entity. They didn't contact the troopers. They didn't contact the Transportation Security Agency. They didn't contact the Coast Guard, which actually has experience with Class 3 weaponry. They didn't contact the National Guard. They didn't contact anybody with particularized expertise in the handling and the control of these types of weapons. The director was just happy to say, well, they don't have any concerns about the facility. A witness at that 11th of December hearing was a Mr. Walsh, who was speaking on behalf of the applicant, the business that wants to put up the facility. Mr. Walsh said, oh, they'll be really safe. Everything's going to be state of the art. We've got air handlers, and we've got things like that to make it secure and safe. And at no point, however, did Mr. Walsh present any written information about what steps would be taken to keep this facility safe. At no point. And likewise, there are 100 questions that could come to pass. For instance, somebody could have asked, well, you say a concrete basement, yes, is it going to be a concrete on the top as well? I'm assuming that the answer is yes, but there's nothing in the record that would indicate that. They didn't ask any questions about whether 8-year-olds could use the facility. They didn't ask any questions about whether any type of background check would be undertaken for these busloads of tourists that were going to come in and use the facility. There was nothing about age restrictions. There was nothing about whether the place could be rented for private parties. There was nothing about a number of questions that any reasonable mind would have asked, at least in my opinion, in the opinion of Veterans for Peace. This isn't saying we don't want guns in Juneau. This is saying we understand that these weapons in particular are particularly dangerous. And at a time when the whole country is seething over the issues surrounding the automatic weapons and gun checks and things like that, one would think that it would have at least piqued the interest of the staff to have prepared this information and provided it to the commission. I got to keep moving here, I guess. There's also health considerations.
Mr. Smith, if I may?
Yes.
Before you move off the topic of public safety, can I ask you, with, as you said, particularly what risks to the public health and to the public safety concern you as the appellant and Veterans for Peace?
Well, we, the appellant and Veterans for Peace, have actually two concerns. One is the general coarsening of our culture in this town by turning these weapons of war, many of whom of us have seen the results of their use, pardon my grammar. That's one issue, of course, is that, is this really the kind of town we want to live in? And another concern, of course, is the possibility that a person could get a gun, shoot his way out, and go berserk on the street. We don't know that that's going to happen, but from this plan, we don't see any evidence that it won't. We also are very concerned, and you can do that, you know, just by renting the gun or by agreeing to rent it. There's no training plan for this facility, which is supposed to provide a training program for young shooters to get families shooting again, I think was a term used by Mr. Svensson in a newspaper article. So I don't feel that the inquiry by the staff and by the commission was particularly thoughtful. I thought it sort of was sort of the easy way out. I know what we'll do. We'll write something up. We'll put it on the consent agenda, and everything will be hunky-dory. There are a series of questions that could be developed, and I prefer not to spend a whole bunch of time right now, but those are our concerns. Plus, I mean, you know, you're a quarter mile from the airport, just right down the road. So we are concerned. And, you know, as I say, we're not here to get the Second Amendment appealed, and we're not here to inveigh against anybody's character or anything, but it is of concern. And we're not the only ones with that concern. If you would look at your record, and I think it's around page 40, there are four memoranda in the record that were provided by, I'm sorry, I'm losing my place here. I apologize. I'm going to back up here. I'm not on the screen. There were four memoranda came to the commission right after the first meeting was canceled. And they were dated like September 26th, 27th, 28th, right in that period of time. And they, five actually, they came in from concerned citizens. One of them, Ms. King, said, "I find this to be one of the most frightening things I have read for a long time." Ms. Besser said, "Anyone who says we are all into guns and talks about a nice family place to get families shooting makes me wonder, is this what Juneau wants or needs?" And quoting Sloan Svensson, who spoke to the newspaper, "You can rent a machine gun, go downstairs, and get the barrel hot." And of course, everybody can, he said as well, everybody has to shoot a Tommy gun. Well, one wonders about the motivation behind the business people who are opening this thing. And finally, Ms. Svensson wrote and said, "We need," and she talked about Class 3 weapons and the AFT, this is a professional lady in the United States Coast Guard, who made four recommendations to the commission. Ask for a comprehensive study. Ask for review by federal enforcement agencies, including alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Conduct background checks for owners, implying that there may be some issues there. And in fact, she indicated that there were issues and gave court case numbers. And ask for comprehensive plans. Well, none of that was done. None of it was even considered, as far as we can figure out. So these were legitimate concerns. Let me cut quickly to health. We said that they didn't review the proposal adequately to address public health and safety issues. The analysis that was written on September 20th contain no evidence of any research on the topic or consultation with any health professionals, including mental health practitioners. The availability of guns in a country where 60% of the gun deaths are suicides is something that would give a few people reason to question whether this thing is really in the public interest. Now, Mr. Walsh at the December 11th meeting testified that the facility would provide an air handling system and hearing protection for the customers and for the range officers. And with respect to the mental health issues, Mr. Walsh also testified that special facilities, and this is a quote, special facilities will be provided for range officers, taking into account the psychological factors associated. Such facilities were not described by Mr. Walsh, nor were the psychological factors associated. That's kind of interesting. As if nobody else has psychological factors to concern themselves with except range officers. The qualifications, by the way, were never listed, except I think somebody said they would be NRA trained. And excuse me, but that I don't find particularly comforting in this day and age. I want to mention briefly the comprehensive plan question. The staff analysis implies that the gun range will be a tourist and visitor facility and will therefore comply with policy 5.4 of the plan, which states that it's a policy of the CBJ to encourage tourism, convention, and other visitor-related activities while protecting Juneau's natural, cultural, and economic attractions. But the analysis made no analysis whatsoever of whether this type of facility, which is designed to be a magnet for tourists, will protect Juneau's natural, cultural, or economic attractions, or whether it might damage those attractions, whether we will be known as the Las Vegas of the North, where people flock in so they can fire their big guns. There's no questioning about that. And yet the evidence on the record shows, of course, that there were at least five members of the community who were very, very concerned about the cultural impact.
Mr. Smith, I show five yes. minutes.
5 minutes, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I could ask a question.
Mayor?
You talked about the NRA certification
yes,
a while
sir.
Ago. Do you, isn't that a professional certification body for trainers?
Apparently it is, guns? And yeah. But I don't know what,
right.
There's no explanation of it. It just says there'll be NRA guys.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And I personally, as I said, my own little slam there was personal with respect to the NRA's political agenda, not right. whether they're competent gun instructors.
Right.
With respect to the other part of the plan that was addressed, which was, I wanted to mention that Malcolm Menzies, who is very active in the local gun club and a respected member of our community, testified that there is a niche for an indoor gun shooting range, which would make it sort of be more compliant with the cultural issue in the comprehensive plan. But he also testified that he did not see a niche at all for automatic weapons. Interesting. Never discussed. The other section of the plan that was addressed in the staff recommendation was that the proposal would comport with policy 5.8 to encourage locally based basic sector industries. But the matter was not addressed in any way in the analysis. And I guess I would like to point out that shooting ranges are not basic sector industries. So for the reasons set out in oral argument and in this presentation and in the record, Veterans for Peace respectfully requests that the Assembly remand this matter to the Planning Commission for a redo and ask that these very, very real public concerns be thoroughly addressed before any permit is issued for this facility. Thank you very much.
Is there time for
Mr. Keel?
Thank you. Mr. Smith, but before you go, with respect specifically to your issues of culture that you've raised, you listed that as one of the particular harms in a question of the comprehensive plan analysis. Is it Veterans for Peace's belief that state law would allow the Planning Commission to look into that matter with regard to the CBJ's regulation of a firearms-related business? And I'm speaking specifically to, there's a statute, 2935-145.
Yes, and the reason is because I think it's 135B, or one of the sub-clauses in that statute, provides that the city may look at citing issues, look at other things relative to the regulation, not of the firearms themselves, but of their use within a city. There's nothing wrong with saying that, for instance, the way the ordinance read, you can't have guns within a quarter of a mile of an airport or a road or whatever it did say. There's nothing wrong with that under state law. State law just basically says, with respect, we, Juneau, cannot outlaw the sale of automatic pistols. We can't outlaw the sale of any other thing that is allowed by the state statute. However, we may, and I would suggest tonight that we should, look at ancillary issues with respect to the locations and the use of those weapons in our community.
Any other questions? Anything else from you, Mr. Smith?
No, I think my half hour is up.
I'm just about right on.
I wanted to reserve a couple minutes for end rebuttal, so I'll get down right now, and I might have a minute or two.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Cheney.
Well, thank you for all being here tonight. I'm going to try to be very brief. I believe this is a fairly straightforward issue that we have before us tonight. I don't have a PowerPoint to show you, and that's very unusual for me, because when I'm talking about land use issues, I generally have a graphic to show a lot or the general community around a certain site. However, in this case, we're talking about something else. We are not talking about a land use issue, and generally land use issues have to do with off-site impacts generated from a proposal, and they are not about what goes on inside an enclosed structure that the members of the public are not exposed to. And I've thought of an analogy, because I've had a lot of people become confused about this, but I think it's rather like if we had a bar that was being proposed at a certain site, and we had members of the public who said, you know, drinking is dangerous, and we'd like to raise the drinking age to 25 from 21. There's lots of literature out there to say that's a good idea. That's not the Planning Commission's role. The Planning Commission takes applications, they review them against existing regulation, and either issue approve with conditions or deny. But they are not a legislative body. They cannot make new law. So in this case, we're talking about the discharge of firearms within a fully contained building in a basement under close supervision. This will be one of the most carefully supervised shooting facilities in our community. And so when the Planning Commission was to review this, they're looking at off-site impacts. What are the off-site impacts in this case? The noise is going to be contained. The bullets are going to be contained. That's always a big one with shooting ranges. The main concerns end up being traffic, that sort of thing, the normal things you would look at with a building that's fully enclosed. So I believe, after listening to the appellants, that they really wanted the Planning Commission to act in a legislative capacity and to pass a conditional use permit with conditions that would have the effect of changing the law about firearm use. Because we're not talking about a land use issue tonight, or at least we haven't been. We're talking about whether it's appropriate for this facility, which proposed to include the use of Class 3 weapons, which are fully automatic weapons, and if that was appropriate. In this case, we have nothing in the record to show that there would be an off-site impact. Now, the appellants have reached out pretty far and said that they are interested in having mental health people or physicians look at this facility, and I just can't understand the land use connection with that. Just as if we were proposing a bar, we've never had a point where we've gone to the hospital and said, what happens in a drunk driving accident? Because we, meaning the Planning Commission, looks at land use. These other things are regulations for the general public and how you conduct yourself. We're talking about the legal use of these weapons here. We are not talking about something outside the ordinary. And they're also in the record, it's quite clear that we have several facilities in town where this is already allowed. And the Hank Harmon Rifle Range is a range where you can legally shoot automatic weapons. There's a caretaker there, there's not even a supervisor. So it's going to be a fairly safe facility that complies with law. So I'm getting off my notes, but I just wanted to make those comments. And actually, I really have to make one more comment. You know, I have a lot of good friends that signed the petition supporting the Veterans for Peace. And I am not here to talk about whether it's appropriate to have automatic weapons use in our community. That is a legislative issue. And I would like to be clear that the Planning Commission wasn't considering a legislative issue. They are looking at a land use issue. This is a conditional use permit for a shooting range. It is not a broad discussion about whether it's appropriate for people to shoot automatic weapons legally and safely in our community. That is a great discussion for another time in a different venue. And actually, I think the Veterans for Peace are using this venue to try to talk about a legislative change. But it's like using a hammer to remove a screw. It's the wrong tool for the purpose. This is not a discussion about legislation. It's about a conditional use permit. If we want to change the law, that's another discussion for another time. So I'm going to really briefly go over the issues on appeal. One that the appellants didn't bring up tonight, I'll just touch on it briefly, was issuance of a building permit prior to the conditional use permit being issued. This is commonly done in a situation where the building could have been used for other purposes. In this case, the upstairs was already set up as a retail and restaurant food service facility. So those are both legal uses in the zone. And the basement's just a big concrete basement. If the permit was denied, it could have been used for storage to support the upstairs uses, or could have been turned into retail space, whatever. Those were legal uses. The building permit was issued for the legal uses that were allowed without a conditional use permit. So I think that one's pretty adequately addressed. The Planning Commission did not adequately address public health and safety. And there's been a lot of talk about, we didn't have a letter from the police chief or from the state troopers saying that this was safe. I personally talked to the police chief about this. It's in the record. I believe it's page 56, where I presented this to the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission decision is based on the whole record, not just the staff report that's written. It's also what was said. It's a rich record. Quite a bit of discussion from Veterans for Peace, other members from the community concerned about this facility, as well as a great discussion by the applicant about how they're going to operate safely, and Mel Menzies, and how this was an appropriate type of facility for the community. I will say that I have a different take on what Mr. Menzies said about not being a niche for automatic weapons. I think that was his personal interest. He's a target shooter. Competitive shooter in that area, and is not personally interested in competitive shooting or this type of thing with Class 3 firearms. That's his opinion. The business has the right to take the risk. Maybe nobody will show up, but that's their risk. The appellants have taken that risk on. And the Planning Commission did not adequately address conformance with the comprehensive plan. We're doing an update of the comprehensive plan right now, so I've been through it word by word, literally, over the last few months. Doesn't have any comment about the use of firearms in the community, just like it doesn't have any comment about the proper age for drinking or any other general broad community issue like that. That's not land use based. It's a land use document. We're not talking about land use in these this appeal here. So there were a couple of passages, and they were already cited, that generally supported this issue, but they did not overly they were not overly focused on a shooting range. So we did our best. We cited them. The term analysis, as we have interpreted it in the staff report, is you look through the comprehensive plan, find relevant policies, and cite them. And that's what was done here. So I think that was handled very well. I'm certainly open to questions, pretty much nearing the end of what I was going to say. But it is not the Planning Commission's role to substitute their judgment for legislative action. The Planning Commission cannot change anything. They can't even change the land use code without your approval. You are the body that adopts legislation. Planning Commission can approve conditional use permits if they comply with the law, but they can't change the law. And also, I do have the statute from the state that restricts municipalities from regulating firearms. And when we looked at this as staff, we felt that if we got too detailed into any conditions regarding the lawful use of firearms, that we would be running very quickly afoul of state law. So we stayed away from that. And
Mr. Cheney, the use or the sale?
I will read this sentence to you. The authority to regulate firearms is reserved to the state and, except as specified, specifically provided by statute, a municipality may not enact or enforce an ordinance regulating the possession, ownership, sale, transfer, use, carrying, transportation, licensing, taxation, or registration of firearms. And the term use is particularly important to us. The municipality cannot regulate the lawful use of these weapons. Now, it can restrict where they are used, and that's why the ordinance had to be changed for this to go forward, because there was a rule that said in the municipal code that you could not discharge a firearm within a quarter mile of a right-of-way. This was within a quarter mile of a right-of-way, so it was changed to say unless approved through the conditional use permit process. But in terms of it doesn't say you can allow one class of use but not another class of use. You start getting into that detail, I think you'd be having a very careful conversation with your attorneys. So I think I will leave it there and just remind you that this is in light of the whole record. I would like to mention that I think that this is a very fair process, in that a conditional use permit is a fair and even process. There isn't the tables are not tilted in either direction. Once the Planning Commission has decided, we would like, or we, meaning the community, needs to have some assurance that Planning Commission decisions are binding. And so therefore, the appeal process is set up to say you need to have substantial evidence to overturn that. But the hearing itself is very fair and very even, and I would like to set the record straight. I don't believe that the whole process is biased against the appellants, just the appeal.
Mr. Cheney?
That's about it. Yes?
So the assertion from the appellant is that the Planning Commission didn't engage in sort of its minimum necessary level of review. Mm-hmm. And there are some, I guess, differences here that struck me. The Planning Commission, as you said, often looks at impacts on off-site mm-hmm. users of the use proposed. There was discussion, I know, of air filtration, but was there discussion of what the standards for lead dust are, how often they're tested?
Well, once again, that's an issue that's regulated by DEC, and as long as they're in compliance with the DEC regulations, the Planning Commission didn't substitute its own judgment for those standards.
And in terms of, I know there was discussion of the question of the safety of the Class 3 weapons in particular. We've seen drawings that indicate some sort of vault or containment area. Did the commission, did staff at any point look into the federal agency's recommendations for storage of Class 3 weapons? I mean, I think they recommend reinforced roofs. I think they recommend steel walls in the areas where firearms, Class 3 firearms are stored.
Well, we have several facilities in Juneau right now that sell Class 3 firearms, and they are all regulated by federal law. So we defer to federal law for those standards. We didn't think it was appropriate for the Planning Commission to substitute their judgment for federal regulations of these, which are fairly strict, as you were pointing out there.
Were any of those presented to the commission? Was that part of the record, part of the discussion?
Not. And I wouldn't say that the detail that you were discussing was in the record for the storage of Class 3 firearms, because it's not a land use issue. That's more of a, how do you store Class 3 firearms? And I'll go back to my analogy of how do you store liquor in a bar? There's regulations about that. But the Planning Commission doesn't usually get involved in how a building, the internal workings of a building are operated, because frankly, we can't enforce it. We are a land use organization, and if you can't tell that there's a problem from the property line, we don't have the force, or not the police, to go in and do internal inspections for all these sorts of things.
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, two things. We were talking about you may put conditions on the project, but it's may. You don't have to put conditions on a project.
That's correct. And in this case, if you have a proposal that is safe and does not have off-site impacts, the project description is the permit. So if the applicant, for example, this would be a good example, that in the basement they were going to be firing these Class 3 weapons, and then when they actually started operating, let's say they started shooting them upstairs, that would not be allowed. That would be a violation of the permit, because that's what they had laid out what they were going to do in the permit. We don't have to have a condition that says that.
Right. And follow up to that, then it's the same principle. Is we build houses or other buildings and permit them, but we don't necessarily reference the codes, all the codes that those individual builders have to meet. We've got the National Fire Code, the National Plumbing Code, the Electrical Code, and it goes on and on and on. When the building is built, it's inspected for those codes, certain ones of them, but not all of them, but for sure. So
that's exactly right. And we have gotten advice from our legal counsel not to put in regulations or conditions that duplicate regulations, especially regulations from other agencies, because then we're put in the position of enforcing regulations that we may or may not even have the ability to enforce. So if there is a state or federal law that says, or even a municipal one such as the building code that says certain things have to be done in a certain way, there's nothing the Planning Commission can do to make that, take that away. That law exists. And if we added a condition, it would just be duplicative, and it doesn't really add anything to the project.
Ms. Green.
You've said that if, for instance, they use the building in a different way than was originally proposed, that would not be acceptable. They couldn't do that. For instance, they started shooting on the second floor.
Right.
But they've given you a plan that says we're going to provide for a safe operation. We will have one person with each shooter who goes downstairs, so there will be one-on-one supervision of people as they are using these weapons. What if they decide to change that and that's not the way they operate in the future? I mean, that's part of the safe operation plan that they've given you. But if they change that and there's only one person for every five or six, does that materially change what they can do or not?
It would be difficult for us to enforce something like that. So as a planning commission, I don't think we would become involved if they were breaking state or federal law. I think, well, then those agencies would enforce that. Typically, applicants will say things that are beyond the scope of the planning commission about how they're going to operate. And we hope in good faith that they continue that, but it's not really our role to enforce that particular level of detail.
But I'm confused as to the legal status, since you said the description is the permit.
Right. Well, that portion of the description is in the testimony of the appellant's representative. I want to mention that we have the appellant's attorney on the phone here. I don't want to take all of his time. So, and that might be a better question for him.
Are there any other questions? Mr. Bruce, you have about 12 minutes.
Thank you, Presiding Officer Jones, Mayor Sanford, and Assembly members. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you this evening telephonically. I will keep my comments brief, and I will not repeat the material that is in the briefs, because I know all of you will have read those. I do want to touch first, I guess, upon the comments of the appellant about a slanted table or an uphill battle on appeal. And I would say that that is analogous to every appeal, whether it be from a planning commission decision or the Superior Court to the Supreme Court of the State of Alaska or a federal district court to a circuit court of appeal. There is always deference given to the triers of fact, to the individuals who have special expertise, such as the Planning Commission, and with an administrative agency decision. They hear these issues regarding land use all the time. They're the ones that sit down and listen to the testimony of staff, the applicant, and the public. Sometimes how something is said is as important as what is being said when the trier of fact is judging credibility, and I would submit that is certainly the case in this instance. I would also remind the Assembly that this was a 6-1 decision. It was not even close at the Planning Commission level, and the only dissenting vote against the motion to approve the conditional use permit was one that was concerned about there wasn't a strong enough commitment regarding education. It did not relate to the public safety, health, and welfare issues that have been raised by the appellant. The appellant is obviously concerned about the lack of written comment from the police department, but he ignores the testimony on the public record that the police department had no concerns. It brings to mind the old adage of trying to prove a negative. The applicant simply refuses to accept the testimony because of the applicant's issues with Class 3 weapons. The appellant was not at the public hearing. Essentially, what the appellant is doing now, which is untimely, in my opinion, in the process, is doing Monday morning quarterbacking. The time for those questions to be asked was in the public process when the Planning Commission was going to be making this decision. The appellant did not appear at that hearing. And I would also like to briefly continue the metaphor that Mr. Cheney was using with alcohol. That's probably one of the closest analogies in that it is a regulated, heavily regulated industry, and it is controlled by the state. The CBJ does not consult with mental health professionals, or the Planning Commission consult with mental health professionals before a liquor store opens. We don't get the opportunity in the Planning Commission level to determine whether or not a liquor store is going to sell beer and wine, and only beer and wine, or whether or not they should be prohibited from selling liquor because it is a more dangerous substance. If people get intoxicated more quickly, that is controlled by state law. I'd also touch upon the fact that the Planning Commission is limited to land use decisions, but there's a whole network. There's an interface of a lot of regulatory agencies that come together under and behind the scenes. You know, the applicant cannot obtain these Class 3 firearms if they don't get licensing from the ATF. The ATF does background checks. The ATF will check on the whole. On the air handling system, that is going to be governed by OSHA and DEC. That is not, you know, as Mayor Sanford correctly pointed out, every code is not cited in a planning commission decision. Essentially, in my opinion, the appellants want to turn the land use issue into part of the national debate over firearm controls. That is simply inappropriate. But at the same time, by doing that, the appellant is ignoring the record, which clearly establishes, as is set forth in my brief, that this facility will be the most highly controlled range in operation in Juneau. Back to some questions that were raised about the building design itself. The Planning Commission doesn't regulate building design or building codes. That's all done by the building department. The Planning Commission makes a decision about use, and there's no evidence, because there is none out there, that shows that there's anything that the applicant is doing that is not lawful under state and federal law. And the Juneau Police Department, as I point out in the brief, had no concerns about that facility because of that. I think it's especially insightful if you go back and look at the record at page 63, where Commissioner Bishop, who had some reservations about automatic weapons, but ultimately he was convinced, and I quote, "They are legal, and given there is a demand for them, I think the place for them is in a controlled environment and in a facility that it was equipped to deal with them." And there is no evidence in the record that shows that this facility is anything but that, a controlled facility specifically designed with safety in mind. And if anyone has any questions, or if Mr. Cheney has any further comments, I would reserve the remainder of the time.
There's about 5 minutes left on this. Is there any other questions from any member here? Do you have anything, Cheney?
I just have one final comment, and it's really an option, but the appellants do have a large business investment in the balance here. They have been, not officially, but just as a result of the uncertainty of the appeal, the project on hold for several months now. And it would be helpful if the decision could be released sooner than might be otherwise normal. It normally takes 45 days to release the decision, and I don't know how complicated it'll be, but if there could be some consideration of that fact, it would be helpful for them. Certainly the Planning Commission doesn't have an interest in that, but I just thought I'd pass that along. And I'm happy to answer any more questions about anything related to this permit, if there are any questions.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Mr. Smith, 1 minute.
1 minute. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Assembly members, for sitting through all this. In 1 minute, I want to address the director's issue with respect that the Land Use Commission cannot legislate. Well, putting conditions on a permit is a form of legislation, and they do it after hearings, and they do it based upon a record. And so they, in fact, can legislate. What they can legislate is a completely different question. But they can put conditions on a conditional use permit. Somebody raised the issue of the air quality. I didn't raise that issue. That was raised by proponents of the range. They said that they were going to exhaust the air outside. Just as a little footnote here, I was on the school board when the gun range at Harborview Elementary School was summarily closed, when we finally did an air test and we found out that entire building was clogged with lead dust.
I would object fact, that is not a part of this record.
You'd wrap it up, Mr. Smith.
I'll wrap it up. I just want to say that I appreciate the time and the energy you put into it, the work of the appellees and appellees counsel, who has consistently put words in my mouth with respect to what we think or we want or we say, and that's his right, I guess. But I would like to suggest, too, that I wish they would have listened to the settlement offer that we made. But we don't have time to get into that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions? I'm going to suggest, then, that we adjourn this until after the assembly meeting, which we'll take it up in executive session.